Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They were alive until someone decided otherwise. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Lori Vallow Daybell, previously convicted for the murders of her two children and her husband's former wife, now facing additional charges in Arizona, accused of conspiring to kill her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, and attempting to murder her niece's ex-husband, Brandon Boudreau. You know, like you do in a happy family. In a recent court appearance, Vallow Daybell chose to represent herself, raising concerns about her understanding of the legal process and the seriousness of the charges and really her ability to truly be her own attorney. Joining me to discuss, defense attorney Bob Mata. You do this for a living, and you saw Lori attempting to pretend to be a defense attorney for that hour of nails on a chalkboard in court. What was your reaction?
That was exactly what I expected. it was like to me, this whole trial is going to be appointment television or appointment streaming, just because, like, watching her in particular, where you've just always gotten the sense from her that you know, she's the smartest person in the room. Nobody knows better than Lori. I'm going to handle this defense myself. I clearly can understand the law and the rules of criminal procedure and the rules of evidence. It's going to be an absolute shit show. But the judge has taken a lot of caution in terms of admonishing her.
Yeah.
You know, about the seriousness of these charges, the difficulty of preparing a case like this, in that she is held to the same standard that an attorney would be in terms of the introduction of evidence. And, you know, I mean, there's very little that judges will give pro se defendants when they decide to move forward. And, you know, I mean, look, the bottom line is she's been warned. So, you know, because it's like the concern, I think, from kind of lay people from the outside looking into the process are like, oh, well, she's just trying to set it up, though, so she can win on appeal because she was incompetent. Well, that's not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like she had every opportunity to have counsel. He admonished her properly on all the aspects of it. And, you know, he asked her the questions. Do you think that you can prepare these motions? Do you think that you can learn the rules of evidence? You know, all the different things that you need to do in order to try a case like this, the expectation is that you're going to be able to do it. And if you cannot, that is on you.
Very much so. The thing is, she's not going to. I mean, there's no hope. She's arguing about her moving from where she was in Idaho down to Arizona, the transfer of her. And the judge the whole time's like, what does this have to do with anything?
Right.
And she doesn't seem to really know why it has anything to do with anything, but she thinks it does, even though it really doesn't have anything to do with anything. But that's what she got stuck on the other day in court. I mean, how is anyone expecting this to go, to even move along in court with someone who just truly is not operating, number one, in the same reality as the rest of us, but has zero understanding of the law and is completely delusional about what she's being charged with or what her culpability is with some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those cases where you're going to just see the frustration from her perspective continue to build as she's denied and objected to in terms of trying to get evidence in. Because the way she's looking at Tony is she just wants to tell her story. And that's not what a trial is. It's like, I know that, that's why you see these occasions where defendants get on the stand and they tell their story, you know, and we know how that works out for people. And now she's going to be not only telling her story, but she's going to try the case wherein she's telling her story. And it's going to be, and she's going to be very, very frustrated because she's going to find out in very short order that things that are a part of her story are not relevant to what is at hand in that courtroom, which is conspiracy to commit murder. They're going to stick to the elements of that crime. They're going to stick to only things that are relevant to prove, or in her case, she is going to need to, even there is no, absolutely no burden on the defendant, she's going to need to disprove the fact that she had anything to do with it. And she's going to be trying to do that. I mean, like, make no doubt about it. I mean, she's going to be arguing, I there's no way that I did this. Like, I had no control over Alex. Alex did what he did. And like, I don't even know how you're blaming me for this. You know, like, yeah, I was over there that morning, but we weren't there when the shooting took place, you know. And it's like, and then she's going to have to deal with all the circumstantial evidence that tell us a different story about that morning, you know. So, and her relationship with Charles, and we're going to get more into the darkness scale and all that shit that starts, like, just all the craziness that is Vallo. I can't wait for it. Like, honestly, I cannot, like, I'm actually thrilled that she's going at this pro se, because it's going to be just an absolute shit show. Like, I've been watching Colby Ryan, her son's YouTubes, and I actually have been trying to get him on because I want to talk to him, because I covered Vallo pretty heavily. And, you know, just kind of watching him watch that is like gut wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's the part that you don't think about. But I mean, what I would tell Colby is, like, look, man, you know, take some solace in the fact that she's going down hard on this. And it's going to be primarily as a result of her incompetence as a lawyer. Like, she just doesn't understand the law. Like, people don't know what we do. That's why we irritate people. People are like, oh, they make a lot of money and I don't even know what the hell they do. We don't make anything tangible. There's nothing that we, you know, like, I mean, yes, we write documents where you can see, okay, well, that they wrote that thing, but a lot of our job is thinking. And, you know, it's not like we're in a factory making something. We're not getting up and making the donuts. We're not performing surgeries where you have some kind of, like, discernible proof that you've worked.
Sure.
like lawyers, just like, we're one of the few professions on the planet that there is, short of, like, filing motions and obviously appearing prepared in trial. Like, that trial lawyers, you know that they've worked, because you cannot walk into a trial court and just wing it. Like, you will look every bit the fool that you are if you haven't prepared for that trial. And that's exactly what we're going to see. We are going to see, for all those who've been waiting to watch her just get pantsed publicly, this is your chance, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And the judge, like, from what I've seen, and I've only seen her in front of him a couple of times, he seems pretty patient. But you've seen in other cases where you have pro se defendants, it gets frustrating for the judges, you know, because they're trying to explain to the pro se defendant, look, you can't do that. That's like the rule. There are rules of evidence that you must follow. It doesn't matter that you didn't go to law school, ma'am. It doesn't matter that you didn't pass the bar, ma'am. You said that you would be ready to do this, and you're not capable of doing it. And at that point, I mean, she's got the backup, right? So she's got the lawyer. She was smart enough to do that. So she's got the lawyer that's sitting behind her that was originally handling the case, who's going to be sitting there, you know, and like, kind of guiding her through if she has issues, you know. But, like, from that lawyer's perspective, like, she wants to help this woman as much as she wants a hole in the head.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, oh yeah, you're that one who yeah, you could do the job better than I can, who's a licensed attorney and has been doing it for a long time. You know, it's like, it just creates like just a shitty situation for Lori. And you know what? Good.
Yeah.
I'm here for all of it, man. It's like, I want to see her go down in flames so, so hard. And I want to see her doing it on her own watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I want her to make her own bed. I want her to say a bunch of stupid shit. And I want to watch her get found guilty on all the charges. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be all her fault.
And at the end of the day, she's going to look just as befuddled as she did going in. Why? How could anyone see it this way? Because she's not fit to stand trial. She's nuts. She's mentally ill. I mean, this is like, I feel like we're almost like just poking the animal in the cage at this point. Like, we know it's sick. We know it's not right in the head. It's clearly not okay. Well, let's keep bringing it out for shows.
Like, right.
It's not going to work. It's not going to come out well, but it's crazy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they've challenged her competency a couple of times, yeah, man.
I mean, they could still again.
Right. You know, the problem with her is that she believes this shit that she's saying and that she thinks. She, like, thinks it's actually true.
Which makes her, insane.
I mean, or does it? Maybe she's right, T. Maybe we're all the insane ones, and she tried to tell us, and we just wouldn't listen. Because, like, when you listen to her speak, like, competency is a very different evaluation. Yeah. It's, do you understand the process? Do you understand legal terms? You know, can you assist, in this case, yourself in helping defend yourself? Because typically it's, can you help assist in your own defense with your attorneys? Mm-hmm. She seems to have a grasp on all that stuff. So, like, competency isn't the issue. It's the other thing that you're talking about. She's certifiable. She's fucking batshit crazy, man. She is like something is broken in her mind. And that, unfortunately, if she decides not to take a mental defect defense approach to this case, which she should, but she never will, because, you know, I mean, that was the whole thing with her Idaho cases. I'm like, they can't use the insanity defense, but they can attack the mens rea, but she wouldn't allow her lawyers to do it.
Mm-hmm.
She just wouldn't allow it. So, yeah, I'm here for it, man. I mean, to be honest with you, like that, I loved your analogy about just kind of like wheeling the damaged animal out and just you continue to poke it just to, like, you know what? She deserves it. She honestly does. Like, she's a fucking piece of shit. You know, the things that she did to those beautiful little kids, like, is the person that you expect to be the most protective of those children is such a betrayal. She's the worst. She's like Ruby Frankie on like crack.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's like horrible.
And if anybody wants an idea of what a narrative defense is like, go back and watch the Robert Tellis trial from last summer.
Oh my God.
That's one. I mean, he did have an attorney, but he did kind of like try and represent himself a bit as well. And that was one where it was a very, I mean, narrative defenses are not very common, but the fact that he gave it, but he is in one too, who I almost think believes his own bullshit, not quite to the level of Lori, but I think he's up there, where he really believes that despite having like the whole getup for what the murderer was wearing in his garage,
in his house,
cut up in pieces, all the evidence is there, but somehow it's not him. I mean, it's that same sort of, I'm going to completely defy reality with what I'm saying and expect you all just to believe it without question. That's kind of what I'm feeling like this is going to end up being like this summer.
And Tellis is a good call. Definitely team photo in terms of like the level of craziness, man. Yeah. It's like, because like I covered that trial and it was exactly like you said. It was just delusional.
Yeah.
No, it's like I know you're trying to sell this thing. It's like your baseline concept there may have had some validity in terms of, all right, this reporter. Certainly, Gurman was definitely after you, but he was after you because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, there's a reason.
He was just trying to expose you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like kind of that, like he created, you know what it reminded me of? It like his narrative, the creation of his entire revenge scheme, you know, that he was being set up thing was very reminiscent of Adelson's defense, Charlie Adelson's defense. And, you know, I mean, he was able to get Rauschbaum to buy into it, or maybe Rauschbaum is the one who came up with that theory. And, you know, I mean, and Rauschbaum, who was Adelson's lawyer, really rode that pony all the way to the finish line, you know, and it's like, and he believed it. Like, you could tell, like Rauschbaum, like, believed it. And it's like one of those weird things is, like, you have to understand his defense attorneys, like, when people see on TV shows that, like, you know, the defense attorney's like, I'm your lawyer, you have to tell me the truth. And, like, that is not real life.
Yeah.
Like, and people fucking lie to their lawyers all day, every day. And if Charlie was like, he never cracked for Rauschbaum. And he's like, this is what happened, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, like I'm a dentist. Like this isn't even my kid. Are you? You think that I would do, you know what I mean? Like, whatever he sold him on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like with, but the difference in the Tellez case is, like, I really respected his lawyer.
Yeah.
Because I got the sense that his lawyer, the reason that that ended up being this kind of situation where it was the narrative is that his lawyer was not willing to put him on the stand. Because I thought that somewhere in there he was concerned with suborning perjury. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that was kind of their workaround, you know, because I found his lawyer to be, you know, in a very difficult case. You know, I never feel anything but empathy for fellow defense attorneys that are, because no one was telling Robert Tellez to take a plea. You know, it's like when you are an attorney for a defendant who is dead set on going to trial, you know what that means? You're going to trial.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, all you can do as an attorney is advise against it. It's their choice. Mm-hmm. It's their constitutional right. We have no goddamn say so in it. So when you are like the lamb being led to the slaughter as a defense attorney in a case where you know you're going to get hammered, I mean, you just have to go in and do your job, which is make sure that it's a fair trial, make sure that your client understands the rights, make sure that the cops do their jobs legitimately, and same with the prosecutor, and that's it. Like, you've done your job, and you can walk out of there like, all right, you know, I did what I was supposed to do.
Sure.
And it was the result, you know, I mean, because a lot of times, you know, as a defense attorney, if they have the evidence and they did it the right way, they're going to get the conviction.
Yeah.
And you don't have to walk away feeling as if I lost. You should walk away from that situation like saying justice was served and I did my job. You know what I mean? Like, people just don't understand that aspect of defense lawyering, but I digress.
Sure. One other point I want to bring up and get your reaction on Lori Daybell. She wants the Vallo removed from any proceedings, any documents with her name on. Brought this up right away at the proceeding the other day. I found that interesting, considering Chad did throw her under the bus in his trial. Obviously, it didn't help him at all, but he did it. The fact that she's still there, standing by her man, at least that's how I take it, by not wanting to have Vallo in the name anymore. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think from the purely strategic perspective, I imagine that that's something that her former attorney and now backup attorney told her that she should do, because it doesn't in the minds of a jury change the fact that they're going to learn that that was her ex-husband, right? But in terms of, like, kind of having the name attached, I could see why she'd want to get rid of it and just have it be Lori Daybell. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but it connects her to Chad more. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, getting rid of the,
I don't know how much of Chad is going to be brought into this trial.
Sure, but I would think if you're going to argue anything that Chad was more of a mastermind, the last thing you'd want to do is still say, and I still have his name by choice. I would, I'm guessing they communicate? You would know this better than I can. Do they have any way to communicate if they're married? But
I mean, I don't know if, because she has active cases going on, if they're allowing them to communicate telephonically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
those would be some calls.
Those would be amazing calls, right? The jail to jail calls would be amazing. Yeah. And if they happen, people will get their hands on them. They'll FOIA the hell out of those things. But like, I don't know if she will throw him under the bus. If I'm Lori Vallow, Daybell, I'm just going to be like, you don't have any evidence that I did this. Like, it was not my hand that pulled the trigger. Like, how are you going to prove it? Like, you know, and just kind of lean on them really trying to sell their circumstantial evidence that she did it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be an interesting trial in that sense, in terms of really how the prosecution's going to make their case. That's what I'm most interested in, because it's easy for us sitting back here, mm-hmm. us knowing everything that we all know about this case. In theory, if you have a jury in there and they don't know jack shit about this case, you know, it's a different thing, because you're, and again, this is going to be a huge detriment to Lori, because she's not going to know what to object to.
Yes.
And and if she does make a proper objection, she's not going to know how to make the argument as to why it's objectionable. Mm-hmm. If this judge has speaking objections, which if I'm that judge, I'm definitely having speaking objections, mm-hmm. because just so I can say, well, ma'am, that's not what this objection means at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to have to go back and read the book.
And this is it's a different case. This one is a little bit harder to prove than the last one. If she had an actual attorney, she may win some of the arguments, but the fact that it's her, that's just like the nail in the coffin, right? It's like, you have no chance now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was my message to all those folks out there that want to see her go down hard. Well, now you're getting your wish.
Yeah.
And like, especially like Colby, you want to see your mom go down, you're getting your wish. It's like, you may not want to have to hear her voice, but she's going to go down so hard on this, because she's just not going to have any way to defend it, because she's not going to know how to go about doing it.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.